Of its suffering I do dream. Of its work I do sing. On it must say.
Welcome to Discipleship 24/7. I'm your host, Mr. Blake. Today's we're going to dig into the scripture of Romans chapter 8, life in the spirit. We're going to look at flesh, law, and things that we might be struggling with. So grab your Bible, notepad. Join me as we dig into the word this morning. Sweetly broken, Jeremy Riddle. Great song with the message, you know. Sweetly broken at the cross. I look, you know, my Savior both bruised and crushed. Show me that God is love and that God is just. Welcome this morning. We're looking at Romans chapter 8. We're talking about, well, some Bibles have a title. Talking about life in the spirit. Now, life in the spirit. Need to jot that down. Life in the spirit. And underline in the spirit. Let's take a look. It says there. Is therefore no one under condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, with verse 1, start of chapter 8. It's for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus in the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by flesh cannot do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemns sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not in according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who've lived according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. Verse 6. For to set the mind on flesh is death, but to set the mind on spirit is life and peace. Let's pause. Pause right there. So this can be confusing. This can be confusing because Romans chapter 8, we start out realizing that it's going to summarize chapter 7. So we need to make a note of that. Because if you go back in your Bible to chapter 7, chapter 7 has two titles, or two kind of topics. One is release from the law, and the second one is the law and the sin. So that's something that we can look at later. Because we're talking right now in chapter 8 about the law. And then we're talking about the flesh. And we see that that Paul starts out with verse 1. It says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. So first of all, we need to define what is condemnation. We need to define that term. Or how would you define that term? And it's something to use, or the expression of a very strong disapproval or censure. That's a regular dictionary definition. And or we can say the action of condemning someone to punishment. So biblically it says there's no one who's going to be punished, right? No punishment. No punishment. Sentencing. But before we get to that part, this is no punishment sentencing, and we need to sort of write a subnote, and that is this thought here in verse 1, it says for those in Christ Jesus. So right off the bat, this is Paul. Paul in the book of Romans. Paul tells us that there is no punishment, no sentencing for those in Christ Jesus. Now this point goes back to Romans 5. Romans 5 verse 1. Because Romans 5, verse 1 says, therefore we have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So there it goes back to justified. So, you know, we need to look at Romans 5, 1, and talk about justification. And for those following Discipleship 24/7, you can jump over to our Facebook page, and and you're going to have to scroll down, and you'll see we posted on August 3rd a midweek study of justification, and we talked about several meanings of justification. You know, what does it mean to be justified? And so that's something that we need to look at and remember. Okay? And so you could check that out. Maybe I'll post a link on that for everyone. Is that we need to kind of think on that. Because justification is the act and the process of being declared right with God. We're declared right with God. And something else to note, that justification by God's grace through faith in Christ. So that's why we see in Romans 5:1 it says we have been justified by faith. Faith, not by works, not by one's own merit. It's by faith. So that's verse 1. Verse 1 says there is no condemnation. There is no punishment sentencing. For those who are in Christ Jesus. And we just need to note that We just need to note Romans 5:1. And then also look about justification. And I know sometimes people always say, hey, this is kind of hard studying the word because there's justification, there's repentance, there's sanctification. All these things are hard, and again, you need to grab that Bible dictionary. Grab a Bible dictionary and really, you know, plug away. Really plug away. So this is how we unpack God's Word. Let's move on. Let's jump over to verse 3. Verse 3, this one's an interesting point. Before we get there, let's look at verse 2. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ from the law of sin and death. So now we switch gears and talk about the law of the Spirit. Okay? Set you free. Verse 3 says, for God has done what the law weakened by flesh. That's a tough one. Law weakened by flesh. Well, you know, could not do. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sins he condemned sin in flesh. And something we need to know, it says the law was weakened by flesh. Now this doesn't mean that the law is not weak. Okay? We need to realize that the law is not weak. Because sometimes we think, oh, my life is messed up, or my life is not on the right track. These rules are not working. These laws are not working. These procedures and process is not working. And we always think, oh, things like that are weak. But we need to realize and make a note in verse 3 that the law is not weak. It's weak because of us. And what I mean by it's weak because of us, it's because of us to keep it. You and I have a hard time keeping laws, keeping rules, keeping and following directions. And and that's why the wall is leaking by flesh, it could not do. God did something that the law couldn't do. God sent his son to meet the demands of the law that were, you know, that were there. Now here's another thing. So we said that the law itself is not weak. It's because of you and me is because of us having a hard time being able to keep it. And then we jump down to verse 4, we could really define, really unpack this, because in verse 4 it says, in order that the righteousness requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walked, not according to flesh, but according to spirit. So that's how we know right there that the law is not weak. He condemned sin in flesh in verse 3 in order that righteousness requirement of law will be fulfilled in us who are not walking in flesh but in spirit. That's how we know the law was not weak. It's weak because of us having a hard time keeping it. So we see that keeping the law is hard. And if we write that note down, keeping the law is hard in verse 4. And the reason it's hard is because we need the Spirit to indwell us. That's why the law is hard. Keeping the law doesn't keep us, or doesn't save us. Okay, the law doesn't save us. Doesn't save people. We need to be saved so we keep the law. Augustine said that the law is given that grace might be sound or sought. Grace is given that the law might be fulfilled. So that's verses 3 and 4. Because the law is weakened by flesh, because we are trying to keep it. The law is not weak. You ever notice that when a changed person accepts the Lord, their God, that they follow, you know, the laws, they follow Scripture. They follow the laws, and we see that the law is not weak. The law is able to follow, able to keep it, if we have the Spirit indwelling in us. That's the difference. That's the difference. We need the Spirit to dwell in us so that we can keep the law. John MacArthur often shared this thought, is that, you know, we talked about the weak, the flesh. He mentions that because of sinful corruption of people, the law was powerful, powerless to produce righteousness. And he quotes Galatians 3:21. And that's something to jot down and look up, that, you know, it's powerless when we think about it. We think oftentimes the law is strong, the law is mighty, but it's powerless. It's powerless. Continue on with verse 5. It says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh." That is so true. So in verse 5 we jot down, you could say flesh equals flesh. You know, it's input-output, right? Live according to the flesh, set their minds on things of the flesh. And then it says, but those who live according to the Spirit set their things on the Spirit. So the other part is Spirit equals Spirit. Same thing, input-output. You know, what we put into a Bible study is what we're going to get out. So if you and I barely read the Bible, barely read a chapter, barely do a study, and just show up, listen, and we don't really read the book or a worksheet, and then when the study's all over, we're like, man, this study wasn't stimulating. It all comes down to what we put in is what we get out. Verse 6 says, "For to set the mind on flesh is death." So now we get to the nitty-gritty in verse 6. We talk about flesh is death. Now we're getting down in the nuts and bolts. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So the Spirit is life and peace. So now we see a different contrast in verse 6. So it comes down to, verse 6 is, how is your mind? You know, our mind controls, you know, when our mind's controlled by sin, we can lead to death. You know, that's something that we need to think about, is that our mind controlled by flesh can lead us to death. The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. And we need to work on that. And there's a note of another passage in Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, because that could lead to peace, eternity. And the death that we're talking about, you can jot this down on verse 6 as a note. The death we're talking about is spiritual, just to clarify. It's spiritually dead. Ephesians talks about that. That when we were made alive in Christ, we were once dead in our transgressions. It talks about that spiritual death. You know, we're alive, but it was a spiritual death. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, shares about that spiritual death. And then a person is alive in Christ. Not only Galatians 6:8, but you can go back and look at Ephesians 2, verse 5. You know, we have this spiritually alive. Like what we can call it, spiritually alive. And that's something we need to think about. You know, when you set your, when flesh is thinking of flesh, it's input output. Spirit is thinking of spirit, it's input output. Also, go back and maybe at another time look at Romans chapter 7 about releasing from the law and the law of sin. Because chapter 8 is really summarizing this chapter. And so, something to think about is we must, you know, as we close today's study, is we must put to death the deeds of the flesh. We must put to death the deeds of the flesh. Because when you think about it, the crucifixion that Christ did was painful. The crucifixion was personal. Because Romans 8 says, "For God has done what the law, weakened by flesh, could not do." And third, the crucifixion was pitless, meaning that there was no turning back once the process began. No turning back. And we must be just as merciless to put away the death of the deeds of our flesh. We must do that. We must put to death the deeds of our flesh. You know, we can't move on unless we give our prayers, unless we give our things to God. That's all I have this morning. Appreciate everyone listening. Hopefully this has been an encouraging passage. You know, Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. We will continue on next time, looking at the second half of life in the Spirit. And just remember, we must put to death the deeds of the flesh. And if you're surfing YouTube, be sure to check us out. We have videos for Discipleship 24/7. Also, look up Sweetly Broken, Jeremy Riddle. I'm your host, Mr. Blake. Thank you for joining. Have a blessed day, blessed week. Let's just keep focus on God. Keep focus in His Word. And let's open our arms and invite Him into our life. That's where change is going to take place. We need to invite Him inside. Also, justification. Amen.